Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
A bright young star of Planet Hunting, who grew up in the Mid-Hudson Valley, is returning to her origins, complete with various fruits and dry goods. Former New Paltz resident and 2003 Oakwood Friends School graduate Dr. Jennifer Yee will return to the school to present its annual Herzog Lecture this Friday at 10:30. The lecture is entitled Extraordinary Extrasolar Planets, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Dr. Jennifer Yee to the program. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
It's a great pleasure to have you with us. You have helped discover 15 planets, one of the five young astronomers in 2013 to be awarded a Carl Sagan Exoplanet Postdoctoral Fellowship by NASA. What got you interested in this subject to begin with?
Well, to be honest, my interest started when I was a kid. My dad used to take me out to observe comets and things, and then we also watched a lot of Star Trek. And Star Trek's all about visiting other planets and just meeting other species and things like that. And I mean, that's what I'm doing today. I'm finding other planets, and so it's very exciting.
So how does one go about doing that? What is involved in finding a planet?
Well, finding planets is a little tricky because they're small and they're fairly faint and they're mostly far away from us. And so there are various techniques that we use, or that astronomers use, to detect the presence of planets. And so in particular, my research has been using gravitational lensing. And this is a consequence of Einstein's theory of general relativity. And basically, mass bends space and time. And so when you see light from a distant star, it generally travels in a straight path to you. But if there's another star or another star with a planet in between you and that distant star, then the light from the distant star will be bent. And by measuring that bending, you can detect the presence of a planet around the star in between you and the light that you're seeing.
So is it measuring that bending, or is it following it?
It's more following it. So what actually happens is that all of the stars in our galaxy are executing their own individual orbits as they move through the galaxy. And so as you're looking out at the galaxy, what you see to your eye is one star will pass in front of another star, even though the two stars are at very different distances. And as your lens star, which is the closer star, passes in front of the background star, it acts like a magnifying glass. And so you see the light from the background star, it will get brighter and then fainter again. And by measuring the mathematical function of that light curve, of the brightening and faintening of the background star, you can actually detect the presence of the planet.
So there is a magnification that you are watching.
Yes, you're watching the magnification. That's correct.
When you look at this fellowship, you are based at the Harvard Smithsonian Center for Astrophysics in Cambridge, Massachusetts. So what exactly do you do there with the team? What is the job at hand?
Well, the sort of sad and boring truth of my life is that I spend all of my days pretty much in front of a computer doing data. Analyzing data, and so there's a lot of numbers and computing and mathematics involved. But I actually just recently returned from an observing trip to Chile, where I worked, took observations with the Magellan telescopes in the Atacama Desert. And what we were looking for was to observe some microlensing events after the fact.
So what does that mean? For example, if I were to look through the telescope, and you were to look through the telescope. So we basically see the same things, but you will notice things, obviously, that I don't. So would you then be able to say, okay, but look at this, and then I would see it, or does it have to be much more of data crunching to understand what exactly you're seeing?
Well, it depends. A lot of the events that I've been working on have been quote-unquote high magnification events. And what that means is that the background light, the light from the background star, can be magnified by as much as a factor of, you know, 5 or 600. And in that case, you can actually look and you can see a series of images of this event, and you can see, if you're looking at a star field, that there's nothing, a blank spot in the sky, and then all of a sudden, it will become one of the brightest stars that you see because of the magnification effect. And then later on, again, it will go away. And so you can actually see these magnification events by eye on images, but to really interpret them requires more detailed analysis.
I mentioned 15 planets that you have helped discover. So
yes.
How did those discoveries take place? And at what point do you know, okay, we know that's for sure a planet?
Well, these discoveries that I've been working on have been very exciting because microlensing, in order to get a microlensing, you have to have a chance alignment of two stars. Two stars have to pass extremely close to each other. And that happens randomly. And so to actually observe a microlensing event, you have to do it in real time. And planetary signals can last only for as little as a few hours. And so it's a very intensive operation to actually observe the signals. And whether or not, when you know there is a planet really depends on how big the signal is. There are some signals that we can see right away that we're fairly confident are planets. But there's some signals that aren't discovered until many months afterwards when people are reanalyzing the data and doing a detailed analysis.
I mentioned in the introduction bringing fruits and dry goods as a way of demonstrating the scale of the universe. So how does that work? How does that play out?
Well, in my lecture, one of the things that I really want to convey is one of the things that I think is very cool about the universe, which is that when you think about space, space is extremely large, and it's also extremely empty. And so I wanted to be able to convey that in my lecture. And so the lecture is built around this idea. I'm going to bring an orange to represent the sun. And if you have an orange to represent the sun, the rest of the lecture is built around building up the solar system and building up other solar systems and comparing them to this size of the sun. And I chose that scale because, well, oranges are common. And also because if you do this in the room that I'll be speaking in the lecture hall that seats about 100 people, you can just barely fit both the sun and the Earth at its correct relative distance inside that room.
Mm.
And so from that, you can really get a sense of just how empty space is.
When you come back, you'll be coming back to your alma mater, coming back to
yes.
Oakwood Friends School. So what is that like? It must have been very nice to get the invitation.
Yes, it is. Actually, I haven't been back yet, and I'm looking forward to seeing my old teachers and, you know, who definitely helped get me started on this path, and also to just seeing how the place is and inspiring other students to pursue science.
Was this always the career goal?
Actually, no. I've always been interested in science and math, and it was really when I got to college and I started doing research that I decided that astronomy was going to be the career I would pursue.
And you're still very young, but you've accomplished a lot. So I assume there's much more out there to discover. Without getting overly heavy in this conversation, do you feel we're doing enough when it comes to allocating resources to discover the things that you're discovering?
Well, we've been putting a lot of effort into discovering other planets. I think one of the biggest successes of recent note has been the Kepler satellite, which has discovered thousands of transiting planets.
Mm-hmm.
Technically, they might be candidates, but most of those are bona fide planets. And going forward, there are a number of other space missions and a number of other ground-based projects going to actually discover planets around other stars. And I think that those are all very promising.
Dr. Jennifer Yee will be speaking at Oakwood Friends School on Friday at 10:30 in the morning. The lecture is free, it is illustrated, and it is entitled Extraordinary, Extraordinary, Extrasolar Planets. Extraordinary, Extrasolar Planets, and is open to the public, and will be held at the Oakwood Friends School in Poughkeepsie, New York. Dr. Jennifer Yee, thank you so much for spending time with us, and have a wonderful time returning to Oakwood Friends School.
Thank you very much for having me.
A great pleasure. Thank you very much. Again, Dr. Jennifer Yee will be speaking and giving the annual Herzog Lecture on Friday, May 2nd at 10:30 at the Oakwood Friends School. The lecture is free and open to the public and entitled Extraordinary Extrasolar Planets. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.